What to do, nephews? This is Emmett Watkins Jr., also known as EJSpun61 on various places on the internet, and I'm back with another episode of Backlog Backtalk. I don't know what that intro was. That was some Snoop Doggian stuff right there. But whatever, we're back with another episode, and today we're finally going to be talking about a movie once again. This series started with me talking about a movie, so now after many, many reviews of different games, now we're going to be talking about film once more. And funny that this is the film that I chose because this film is very, very video gamey. And the movie we're talking about, of course, is Hardcore Henry. The 2015, I want to say it came out in, maybe 2016. But I'm going to go with 2015. Oh, it came out in 2015, but it wasn't in theaters till 2016, apparently. So that's kind of weird. I'm going to go with 2016. Anywho, we're talking about this film. This caught a lot of eyes back when it came out because it's entirely shot in first person, and it really looks like a video game for the entire movie, and there's even more elements than just this perspective that, you know, I could attribute to games. So yeah, I decided to watch this one, and we're just going to talk about it a little bit. Housekeeping stuff, I finally announced that this podcast exists, so now some of my friends are hopefully getting on the bandwagon. I don't know if it's a bandwagon, but hopefully they'll start listening to episodes. I'm very excited for that. And then hopefully we'll be able to grow this over time, possibly. Jury's out on that, but we shall see. But yeah, hopefully y'all enjoy what you hear, and I'm going to be keeping consistent with the audio quality and recording this the same way I recorded the last episode. So do enjoy. Also, the podcast has made it to a handful of other platforms. And just to name you all the platforms we're on right now. So I believe last time we've already discussed that Spotify, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Google Podcasts, all these are on. We also are on Stitcher. So that is a pretty exciting development, I'd say. I actually used to use Stitcher way, way back in the day for podcasts before I discovered Pocket Cast and all these other apps that let you download podcasts. Stitcher was my go-to back in the day, so it's pretty cool that we're on there. iTunes, still not quite there yet, but we're getting up on other platforms, so I'm still pretty certain that iTunes should approve it as well. It's just going to take a while. I really don't have a timetable for you on that, but we will keep trucking on, and once it is on iTunes, you will have a backlog of episodes to listen to. So looking forward to that. So yeah, without further ado, let's get into this movie. So Hardcore Henry, the biggest thing about it is that it is such a video game movie. Like, of course, it's not based off of a specific video game, but I'm sure just the style alone was inspired by games, but so much more than the style. So, like, so much about the plot, so much about the narrative, so much about the action scenes, straight out of different games. So much of the action, I could literally think in my head and be like, oh, that reminds me of this mechanic from this game. This reminds me of this mechanic from this game. They had different scenes in this movie where, you know, everything came from a certain place. So, yeah, it was really cool. I actually really enjoyed my time watching Hardcore Henry. It's a lot of fun. This is not at all a serious film at all. It takes some pretty cool twists and whatnot. There's some pretty cool, it flips some stuff on its head. But overall, this isn't like going to blow away. This isn't like a watershed moment for film or anything. It is a really, really fun action flick. And the word I'd say describes this most is gratuitous. But I was a little bit afraid of how gratuitous it would be, because except for a brief flashback that begins at the beginning of the movie, the opening credits is literally like slow motion scenes of violent actions happening. There's literally the title credits is on a baseball bat, and then the bat is like slow motion hitting a guy in the face. And then there's like another slow motion brick hitting a guy. There's like a broken bottle cutting into a guy's stomach in slow motion. And seeing all these things, I was like, okay, that's fine. And then, you know, you got bullets and stuff. But the thing that really made me uncomfortable towards the beginning of the movie, there's this one slow motion scene in the opening title sequence where like a knife goes through a guy's neck and it comes out on the other side. And you like see the skin deform and everything. It is really personally unsettling. Because just to give you guys some background for me, I'm really weird about violence in movies. I don't watch horror movies really much at all because I'm just not a fan of ultra violence in film. Of course, I play a ton of different video games that are really graphic, but you know, the disconnect is there. It doesn't look like real people. The graphics aren't like ultra realistic, so I'm not really like put off by that too much. But in most movies, I can't take it when the violence looks a little bit too real. And it's less of a fear thing. It's just like it just makes me uncomfortable, so I just don't do it. But in some action movies, I'm able to get over that hump. Because in some action movies, they don't necessarily focus on the ultra violence. It's more of just, you know, the violence is in, oh, a guy got shot, but look at the explosions. It's more of a stylized violence rather than a revel in the guts and gore of it. And so with this opening title sequence, there was some pretty gnarly stuff in there. Not anything that's like, I don't want to say it was anything like, oh God, that's the worst thing I've ever seen in a movie. But it was some stuff that was like somewhat off-putting, just a little bit up front. There's specifically like there was one scene where a bullet hole goes into a guy's head and you see the skin deform and everything, and it is like, geez, this is the type of movie I signed up for. But ultimately, once you get into the film, the action moves so quick, and it's from a first-person perspective, so there's not too many scenes where it's like reveling in the ultra-violence of things. Ultimately, I was able to take it. There weren't too many scenes in the movie where I was like, "Ugh, gross, that's fucked up," or something like that. But this is, I will say, this movie is rated R, so it's very graphic, it's very violent, and as I said, it's very gratuitous. The action in this movie is almost nonstop. There are a couple of sections where things take a break to kind of give you plot threads here and there, and there are about probably like between 3 and 5 scenes of extended storytelling where it's not like the movie slows down and it gets boring or anything, but there's definitely like what's the word for it? There's parts here where, you know what? Since it's such a video gamey movie, it feels like cutscenes. It feels like the pace is calmed down and there's no action and you're getting just a little bit of this narrative stuff. And I think the narrative they tell is, while not, once again, not amazing, not groundbreaking by any means, it's pretty neat. It's definitely pretty cool for the you know, it's a good justification for the action that goes through, and it actually sets up for some cool, I'd say. See, sci-fi is what I want to say, but I feel like sci-fi isn't necessarily the term because it's not like space and everything. There's some supernatural, non-realistic elements to the narrative, especially with the main villain and especially with the companion that you find, that Henry finds. See, this feels like a game, that Henry finds in the movie. There are some fantastical elements here, but ultimately, it feels like the action feels grounded entirely. There's one big thing with that companion that I mentioned, that companion character. I'll actually tell you the name of the character, Jimmy. And you'll know who Jimmy is if you watch the film. Yeah, Jimmy, he's definitely on some supernatural shit. But I'm not gonna say how. Same thing with the villain. I want to say Akin or Akin, AKAN. I'm just gonna go with Akin. Yeah, there's some supernatural shit going on with him. And of course, Henry himself is a cybernetic human, so it's like that's some weird ass shit too. But you know, it's all good. All these elements blend well. And despite all these supernatural elements, the action in this movie feels very grounded. There's a lot of like hand-to-hand combat scenes that like make you are very visceral and like put you in the middle of the action. Even when a lot of the gun stuff is happening, it feels like when a person falls, you feel like the weight of them is falling. They do a really good job with like when they throw a grenade, puffs of smoke pop off, and like things are very reactive to the actions of Henry. Gunshots send guys flying. You know, stab wounds are like very impactful. This feels weird to say in a movie because this isn't like the type of things I look for in a film necessarily, but it definitely, with it being first person, it definitely makes you feel like these things are happening to the protagonist. It is very like in your face with it. And then once again, going back to this word gratuitous, the action's gratuitous. Some of the violence is a tad bit gratuitous, I'd say. There's one scene in particular that really, like, I literally shouted, "Oh fuck!" when it happened. Some guy literally loses his head in front of you, and I was like, "Shit." But yeah, anywho, another gratuitous aspect of this movie, which isn't prevalent throughout. There is at least one scene, an extended scene, which I believe takes place in a brothel. It seemed like a brothel. And you can imagine what you get a lot of in that scene. It has a this movie has a very punk rock vibe to it. It has like a, just a fuck you, we're doing it, we're going as hard as fuck, we're just really getting into the rough and tumble of things. And it's not something, it's definitely not off-putting. I don't know, it's kind of charming. It reminds me of certain movies, or it reminds me of games that just have such an over-the-top style that it turns around on the other side of being charming. It definitely doesn't have the problem, to use a really obscure comparison. If you guys remember that David Jaffe game, Drawn to Death, a lot of people hated that game because it had such a fuck you attitude, to the point where it was off-putting to a lot of people. And I want to say Drawn to Death came out around the same time as Overwatch, and it had the complete opposite philosophy of Overwatch, where Overwatch is very like, come on in, have some fun, we're all friends here, we're all going to have a good time. Drawn to Death was like, fuck you, get good, fuck everything, like, just fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. That was the whole motto of the game. But if you dug deep enough down into the progression system of Drawn to Death, towards the end of it, it would start to show the heart that it had. Because it did have some heart. It was just hidden behind ranking up, which, you know, most people weren't willing to do for a game that small. And now that studio's closed, unfortunately. But anyway, to digress here, this movie, it has that attitude where it's so over the top. It's so outlandish. Some of these action scenes are, of course, impossible by realistic standards, but I'm just wondering, like, how the hell did you even pull that off in the movie itself? Like, how did these effects get shown off? And then even with that, I'm trying to figure out how, what is it? Like, this movie was made for a budget of like $2 million, and it made back its money pretty well. It made about $16 million gross, but wow, they really pulled off some really cool effects here. Now for some of the things, I can tell when some of the jump cuts happen. They try to make it smooth throughout, but I can tell some of the rough edges in this movie. This is still an independent film at the end of the day. So I understand there are going to be some shortcomings, but ultimately I thought the film was really dope as far as the style of it. And just sometimes the gruesomeness of the violence sometimes threw me off. Not in that, oh man, you're seeing blood and guts. There aren't too many scenes like that where you're seeing like people get disavowed and stuff. But sometimes just like it comes at you so fast and so out of left field, it like throws you off. There's one scene I'm thinking of in particular where a character you were just talking to like explodes right in the middle of his dialogue, and the shrapnel hits another character that was standing directly in front of you. It is like, holy shit, I didn't expect that. The movie just doesn't really give you too much time to rest, which is a positive in this case. This is a movie primarily marketed on its action, and it is definitely at a breakneck pace throughout. And I feel like so many, once again, when I say so many of these action scenes were, you know, plucked right out of games, you got, you know, stuff like Sleeping Dogs. I think it's Sleeping Dogs so much. That really good open world game set in Hong Kong. You could jump from car to car in that game, and there's a scene in this movie that is almost directly ripped from that. And even if you want to talk about car to car jumping from video games, you got Pursuit Force on the PSP. They really need to bring that franchise back. Just stuff like that. There was a scene that totally felt like Far Cry 3, with the throwing knives implemented and using that to cover the distance with just a pistol and some throwing knives. I thought that was pretty neat. There was some scenes in here that the ending, there's a really big fight that happens at the end with like a whole bunch of people. And this is one of my actually few gripes with the film. There's this really big, massive fight that happens with like 50 dudes. But the way that the fight is edited, it makes it feel like, because you know when you're playing a game and there's like a million dudes there, sometimes they'll break the illusion, and like it'll be a crowd of enemies around you, but only one will come out of the circle and fight you, and then only two will come out of the circle, and then you realize, oh wait, you're just fighting one or two enemies at once, and it's not like you're not getting that sense of the entire fight. Kind of like the opposite of what Kill Bill did. Kill Bill was really good about, I feel like that one giant fight sequence in Kill Bill, I want to say Volume 1, that really did a great job of showing, oh, they're fighting everyone. Same thing with the fight scene, the really famous fight scene in Old Boy, not the remake from Spike Lee, God bless his heart. I'm talking about the original here. That fight scene was really good at showing, oh, he's fighting everybody. Yeah, when you talk about the scene in Hardcore Henry, he's fighting a lot of dudes, but it's edited in a way where it seems like he's taking down one guy, he's taking down one guy, he's taking down two guys, he's taking down one guy. It's very beat by beat, and part of that is due to it's in first person, so they have to show that he's fighting one dude. They can't have him, you know, kicking off to the side while he's doing something else with his hands. The camera simply just can't show that if it's all from first person. So I understand that limitation, but it does have that effect on it. But I will say that the first half of that big fight sequence, it has a vibe of, once again, it has that vibe of Kill Bill. Towards the middle of that sequence, it has a vibe of like Left 4 Dead, I don't want to say specific plot points. I don't even want to spoil too many of the action scenes, because that is part of the reason you're watching it. So if I tell you what happens, it's not quite as cool. Some of the fun is seeing how Henry gets out of some of these predicaments. But middle of the scene kind of reminds me of Left 4 Dead. And then the very ending, like the biggest, I guess you could say, boss battle of this, reminds me a whole lot of, like, though I didn't play the game, but I know so much about it just off of the countless talks that have been had about it. Metal Gear Solid, specifically things involving Psycho Mantis. I did play a game that involved Psycho Mantis, because I actually beat Metal Gear Solid 4. That's the only one I did actually play all the way through. And yeah, that Psycho Mantis boss fight, just, I don't even want to say how it's similar to Psycho Mantis, but the final boss battle reminded me a lot of Psycho Mantis. And that was also probably the most ridiculous thing I had ever seen. But it was cool in its ridiculousness. I feel like Hardcore Henry revels in its insanity a lot, and I feel like that's a big reason as to why I enjoyed the movie so much. It's really cool. Now let me be perfectly clear, this is a lot like part of the reason I was so attracted to watching this movie and finally got around to it after all these years. Cloverfield is one of my favorite movies of all time, due in part to the unique perspective where it's all from the point of view of one video camera that this one person carries throughout the night. Hardcore Henry has the same type of thing, but the thing I emphasize that because shaky cam, there's a lot of shake, there's a lot of like moving the camera very suddenly, very sharply. So if you are really prone to motion sickness, you better watch yourself. This is not going to be for the faint of heart. But you know, I had a perfectly fine time with it. Now I'm kind of in the middle when it comes to motion sickness. I saw Cloverfield multiple times over the years and have not like gotten sick or anything, but I am also the same person who tried to play like Resident Evil 7 in VR, on PlayStation VR, and I couldn't really take it for more than a few minutes. That made me a little nauseous. So, you know, yeah, results may vary, just fair warning. And of course you can look up a trailer if you want to see how it actually looks to see if that would affect you. But yeah, ultimately, Hardcore Harry, very, very solid film. I really didn't expect, well, I expected to enjoy it, but I didn't expect it to pull so heavily from the video game genre. There's even things in here that are reminiscent of like quest givers in traditional video games, or like there's literally a mini map that they refer to multiple times in this movie. It's really crazy. There's even some aesthetic choices that remind me of Call of Duty 4, or Modern Warfare. Yeah, you guys know. It's got a lot of stuff in it. If you're a fan of video games, I feel like this would be a very good one for you to watch, especially if you're a fan of just action games in general. I feel like there's a lot of callbacks, just references and inspirations from games in this movie, without hitting the nail on the head at all. They are able to make you think of other games here. But if you're not a fan of video games, this is still a solid, I don't even want to say solid. It's a pretty good action flick. It has style for days. Of course, the narrative has a lot of cool things going on in it as well. Though it is fairly shallow for the most part. And then I will say, there's a twist at the very, very end of the movie that felt so weird. Now, maybe this is just for me because I saw trailers for this movie when it came out, but with me just now seeing it today, there's something they set up in the trailers that is definitely not the case after this twist happens at the very end of the movie. And so when that got twisted on its head, I was like, what the fuck? So I was like kind of salty about it, but I also thought it was a really cool thing to do. I thought their justification for making that twist was pretty neat. But ultimately I was like, whoa, that's what they're doing? All right. But ultimately it leaves the ending of the movie feeling like it feels kind of, the ending itself isn't hollow, but then once they make that twist, it feels like, okay, so what is Henry now? Is Henry, Henry had one defining trait and it seems like they took away that defining trait. I'm really talking around spoilers here. It makes the whole ride was fun getting to that point. But then once the mission is complete, it feels like, oh, so now what? it's like, you know, I just feel like, man, that really, it's less of me being like, damn, I'm not getting anything emotionally from this ending. It's more of me feeling like, well, Henry's screwed now. Like there's nothing else for Henry to do, which kind of sucks. Like it feels like, actually, I guess that could be seen as a plus because, you know, this isn't going to be something that I feel like they could possibly sequelize because, you know, they have to give motivation for Henry again. And the most thin motivation they could give him is something that would just feel so generic and just so not even worth making a movie for. This is definitely something I see being a video game to justify the action a little bit more. But the action, all the action's justified in this movie. I want to be clear about that. But if they were able to do a sequel, I couldn't imagine what plot they could make for this. I feel like they definitely tie a bow on everything at the end of this movie and it stands alone as on its own. I really enjoy it. If anything I've said in this podcast sound good to you, go ahead and try it. I watched it on Netflix, so it's probably still on Netflix at the time that you're listening this, most likely. And if not, I think it's worth the, you know, $3 or $4 to rent it. Definitely worth giving it a shot. So yeah, that is what I thought about Hardcore Henry. Side note, Tim Roth has a kind of cameo extended role, kind of important role in this movie. You might know him from some Tarantino films. I know him specifically from Reservoir Dogs, but I know he's been in loads of movies since. That's a pretty cool thing to look out for. I really don't have much else to say. Hardcore Henry, dope film. And hopefully you've enjoyed listening to the podcast today. This is Backlog Backtalk. Hit me up on Twitter if you want any updates on what I'm doing in the future, or if you want to give me feedback on stuff. And my Twitter is EJSpun61. So hit me up at EJSpun61. And that's also my name everywhere else. You Google that, you'll find me on Instagram. You'll find me on PlayStation Network and just wherever else I've used that name. Last.fm, for Christ's sake. Anything else. As I've already said in previous episodes, this podcast is published using the app Anchor, and I'm still using that app and it is still working, you know, fabulously for me. But as you hear in the pre-roll, or I guess post-roll at the end of this podcast, it offers an invitation for you to record a voice message to send to me and I can maybe respond to that on the podcast. Do feel free to use that feature. I'm totally open to using all the features that Anchor has to offer. They have some pretty cool features here. So if you want to send me a voice message, I could do a special episode and respond to some of you guys' voice messages about maybe some of my opinions on some of the games or movies that I talk about on this show, or just anything else. And also do let me know, I'm recording this just like I am now. Anchor does have a feature for background audio and I haven't for like background music. And I haven't really thought that might fit because I worry that might, you know, when I'm talking lower or something like that, you might not hear my words, but Let me know if that seems like a decent idea, a viable idea. I don't want to do that if I feel like it's going to interfere with the actual words I'm saying, if it's going to overbear me at all. But hey, if there's enough requests for it, I might look into it. So do let me know how y'all feel on that. But without further ado, this has been Backlog Bat Talk, talking about Hardcore Henry. I am Emmett Watkins Jr. And as I always say, keep it real, keep it true.